ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनन्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
Verses 13 to 17, chapter 9.
महात्मानस्तु मां पार्थ महात्मानस्तु मां पार्थ दैवीं प्रकृतिमाश्रिताः दैवीं प्रकृतिमाश्रिताः भजन्त्यनन्यमनसः ज्ञात्वा भूतादिमव्ययम् ज्ञात्वा भूतादिमव्ययम् महात्मानस्तु मां पार्थ दैवी प्रकृतिमाश्रिताः भजन्त्यनन्यमनसः ज्ञात्वा भूतादिमव्ययम् सततं कीर्तयन्तो मां सततं कीर्तयन्तो मां यतन्तश्च दृढव्रताः यतन्तश्च दृढव्रताः नमस्यन्तश्च मां भक्त्याः नमस्यन्तश्च मां भक्त्याः नित्ययुक्ता उपासते नित्ययुक्ता उपासते सततं कीर्तयन्तो मां यतन्तश्च दृढव्रताः नमस्यन्तश्च मां भक्त्याः नित्ययुक्ता उपासते ज्ञानयज्ञेन चाप्यन्ये ज्ञानयज्ञेन चाप्यन्ये यजन्तो मामुपासते यजन्तो मामुपासते एकत्वेन पृथक्त्वेन एकत्वेन पृथक्त्वेन बहुधा विश्वतो मुखम् बहुधा विश्वतो मुखम् ज्ञानयज्ञेन चाप्यन्ये यजन्तो मामुपासते एकत्वेन पृथक्त्वेन बहुधा विश्वतो मुखम् अहं क्रतुरहं यज्ञः अहं क्रतुरहं यज्ञः स्वदाहमहमौषधम् स्वदाहमहमौषधम् मन्त्रोऽहमहमेवाच्यम् मन्त्रोऽहमहमेवाच्यम् अहमग्निरहंकुतम् अहमग्निरहंकुतम् अहं क्रतुरहं यज्ञः स्वदाहमहमौषधम् मन्त्रोऽहमहमेवाच्यम् अहमग्निरहंकुतम् पिताहमस्य जगतः पिताहमस्य जगतः माता धाता पितामहः माता धाता पितामहः वेद्यं पवित्रमोकारः वेद्यं पवित्रमोकारः ऋक्सामयजुरेव च ऋक्सामयजुरेव च पिताहमस्य जगतः माता धाता पितामहः वेद्यं पवित्रमोकारः ऋक्सामयजुरेव च
The nature was nature of Brahman was discussed, and then he, in the ninth verse of this chapter, he says, even though all this is happening, not through these acts of Dhananjaya mind me, remaining like one unconcerned, unattached to those acts. So basically he is saying, he first said, you remember the big circle, small circle and all that we discussed. The explanation given for the world coming out of Brahman in the Shastras is this. That is, in the beginning, first they say, Brahman created the world. God is a creator. Then slowly as you walk, you are told God did not create. God doesn't have any intention to create. You need to have a motive to do, to create. If God has motive, that means God is not paripurna, complete. Right? Unless until the motive is fulfilled, you don't become complete. And by the word God, you mean something which is complete, paripurna. So then, obviously God cannot have motive. So, not like God sitting and creating the world. Then they say, world is evolved out of God. The material cause itself is nothing but divinity. Just like how the spider spins a web out of its own saliva. Right? So in other words, world is evolved out of God. Now when world evolves out of God, does it reduce God in any way? Nothing. So much of water goes from the ocean every day. So much of water is entering the ocean every day. The ocean doesn't become any less. Similarly, he says, so many activities are happening by me presiding over. Right? But they don't bind me. The crux of Vedanta is only this. The crux of Vedanta is not your ability to memorize, understand, and repeat the verses or give lecture on them. The crux of Vedanta is you are able to live with this objectivity. This is what he is saying. So many activities go on, right? From Brahman, which is discussed here already in verses 7, 8 and all that. He said, animating my own prakriti, I bring forth again and again all this multitude of beings. Day, night, everything is going on. But none of these actions bind me. Right? It's like so much dream come out of waker's mind. In the dream, so many things are happening. The waker's mind is not at all touched. When we understand this, in our own life, we'll be carrying on with our daily duties. But deep inside, this witnessing ability will be there. This objectivity will be there, that we will not be wrong. But somewhere we miss this knowledge. When we miss this knowledge, slowly I start becoming Ami, Shweta, Lakshmi Narayana, Sadhana. Then affectation comes. This is the problem, na? Like from childhood, you've been identified with a particular name. Isn't it? And anybody uses the name, you turn immediately. When you were born, you had the name. But going on identifying. Like that, we are identified with our personality so much. The society also does that. You put on weight, you've lost weight, your hair has turned grey, you're getting old, etc., etc. Going on identifying you with this limited self. How much ever Bhagavad Gita we study, we don't understand. Even if we understand, we are not able to identify with the self. And once you identify with the self, like he says, you will not be bound by any action. Prakriti is functioning. Again, the example of Sundar. The prakriti of the body will, show up the hunger. Every now and then when it requires food. Are you with me? But what happens is you get identified with it and then you suffer. Similarly, joy. He says all these actions should carry on. Like you go and stand in your balcony and you are watching a procession go by. Right? The traffic signals are, traffic is passing. And the police man is standing at the traffic signal watching the cars move by. So, good comes, goes. Negative comes, goes. But you continue. You understand this. So he says in 11, fools disregard me in this body. This is another interesting verse. Fools disregard me dwelling in human form. Very interesting. Only dwelling in human form. Very interesting, because in the case of animals, they do not have this ego. It's very interesting, you know. See, our children, we also were innocent.
So is it the ego or the concept? That they don't have this whole concept that there can be God or
there can be. Forget about that. That I am separate and you are looking at me. See this, what will others think of me issue is not there for anyone. Are you with me? See, even as children, we were like that. Are you with me? At a particular age, suddenly they say, the shame and everything starts coming. After a particular age. Up to a particular age, you have no shame. Are you with me? Slowly the ego comes. So once the ego comes, now you need to deal with knowledge. And you live in this world as per the societal norms. But inside, you must be above the ego. But therefore he says, fools, not thinking type, they go by perception. They don't go using their intellect, penetrating and identifying with the truth. So he says, fools disregard me. In the translation, if you see, Swamiji has given me this capital. Me means the self. Wherever he is meaning the self, he will use the young capital. Atma. So you disregard the self, which means what? You are regarding this body mind intellect complex. This body mind intellect complex is given the name Mamta. This body mind intellect complex is given the name Satana. Are you with me? So disregarding the self means you are regarding the personality. Dwelling in human form. You have the potential to identify with the self. But because you don't think, you get lost. And then, not knowing my supreme nature, the great lord of beings. It is the self that is behind the perception, actions, emotions and thoughts. If you are sitting and enjoying the air conditioner, it is because of electricity. Right? If electricity is not there, will you have the air conditioner working? But there is no presence of electricity seen everywhere. It's like that. That constant 24/7 awareness. So that's what he says. In human form, when you are willing, you have the potential to have that awareness. Your whole life will completely change to the extent this awareness comes in your life. You won't be insensitive. See, that is different. The case of insensitivity is different. This is not case of insensitivity. You have risen above your limited personality. So therefore he says, those who identify with this limited self, of vain knowledge, vain hopes and vain actions they carry on. They do not have proper knowledge. Their knowledge is limited. And they have vain hopes, thinking that attaining the, increasing the external stuff, I can get security. Vedanta says the only solution is knowing your true self. By either increasing your wealth or people around you or educational qualifications, all these things per se is not going to give you the security you are looking for. It will help you for your worldly transactions. That's different. So he says, of vain hopes, you carry on vain knowledge with vain, vain action with vain knowledge, senselessly you function. They are verily possessed of the delusive faculty of rakshasas and asuras. Asuras and rakshasas means what? You selfishly run after material pursuit. And you can even go to the extent of following unethical means. For material well-being. How does a sattvic person function? I've told you this many times. sattvic person doesn't run after meditating. A sattvic person pitches up a higher goal, something beyond his selfish, self-centered interests, and works for that higher goal. When he works for that higher goal, the material things get added to his life. There is a difference between a person working to earn and save compared to another person not working to save for his future. He comes out to contribute. While contributing, he gets something as a result. In that, since he is leading a simple life, whatever simple life varies from person to person, right? Automatically, there is a spillover. In the case of a Rakshasa and Asura, that's not the case. The whole idea is to grab it, get it. So selfishly they run out, stealing and planning. Even they go to the extent of following unethical, immoral means. They have to destroy somebody, they destroy. They don't care about how many people's head on which they have to walk. They only care about, I have to get there. You know? If you have to get there, you probably will have to walk on so many people's head. They don't care about it. I just have to go and get the stuff. That's it. Already there are so many people standing in the queue. But no, I must get it. So you will do all sorts of unethical practice. This is the Rakshasa and Asura. But when you do that, what you don't understand is you think you get it, but ultimately you are destroying yourself. That's why he calls it senseless. I give you the example of Kalidasa for senseless. Remember that? What did Kalidasa do? He was trying to cut the very same branch on which he was sitting. So when you follow these unethical, immoral methodology, temporarily it looks like you've gained, but it ultimately finishes. So senselessly they function by simply trying to increase their material possession. Rather than pursue a goal, but they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather seed from a weed. With hopeless wish, then looks and lingers, and breaks the glass and cuts his finger. Rajasic and tamasic rules. But they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from the wheat. See, all that Vedanta, actually, one wants to complicate, one can complicate. Go round and round. But simple, if you want to put it simple, all that Krishna is saying is, up to a certain age, you have to take from the society. Like a tree, where it is planted, you know, for a few years, it only takes. It's not giving anything back to the society. And once it has strengthened its roots, there comes a time when it has to contribute back. And identifying what your swadharma is, could be anything, right? And in your case, the swadharma is not something that is valued as something great in the society. It doesn't matter. You follow your swadharma. But in the spirit of loka sangraha. Loka sangraha means functioning in the spirit of welfare of everyone. Giving back to the society. Not with an idea of learning something and trying to save and live somehow, exist, you know. No. Contribute. Now, as a result of your contribution, there are certain things that are going to come to you. Use them in your life for your daily sustenance. And continue. This way. They whom truth and wisdom lead. It is not a life of a human being to live without a goal, without a direction. Without a higher direction. Many of us do not have a goal. We are just working to add one more rupee into our bank account. Is that a goal? Is that the life of a human being? And if you live like that, then you are living the life of a rakshasa or an asura. Rakshasa asura does not mean that like they show in TV and all, you know, with 10 heads and all that. Means this is how they live. Total indulgent life. That's it. Tau, yo, ujaka. Earn, enjoy. That's all. Nothing. See, Rakshasa also understands that time moves everything. Before I lose my youth, let me indulge. That's how Rakshasa thinks. He also knows that time loops away his youth. Ma puru rana jana yavana dharma harati nimesha kalasa, says Vasugopinda. Do not be proud of dana. Dana means wealth. Jana. Jana means following. People. Yavana? Youth. Ma puru dana jana yavana garvam. Do not be proud of wealth. Jana Kuru means do. Ma Kuru, do not be proud of these three factors. Dana, wealth, jana, people, yavana, youth. Right? Harati nimesha kala sar. Kala, time loops away everything. So, the same thing, a Rakshasa philosopher is differently. He will say, yes, time will root away my youth. So when I'm young, I must indulge. How does the sati person think? Yes, time will root away my youth. Before I use my youth, I should use my energy and try to realize the self. Try to contribute maximum. I don't know whether I'll live tomorrow. So might as well enjoy today. He's our rajasic fellow. Enjoy it, nothing wrong. Indulgence, basically. Whereas sattvic person, tomorrow whether I will live or not, so might as well do the good things today. Whereas a rajasic fellow will talk, I will give, means in future. When we go to the 16th chapter, I'll point it out to you. Everything will be in future. I will donate, I will give, I will do this, I will do that. This is how a rajasic fellow will talk. Whereas a sattvic person will look to contribute, pitch up a goal and push. See this poem, this is a poem by Robert Browning called Grammarian Humor. That there are few lines which I am going to quote now. That low man seeks little things to do, sees it and does it. This high man with great things to pursue dies ere he knows it. That low man goes on adding one to one, his hundreds soon hit. This high man thinks at a million, much as a unit. Unit. I have come across two interpretations from this actually. In fact, very interesting interpretation. Now I'm going to give one, I'm going to take one of the interpretations now. The other interpretation I'll talk to you later on. It says that low man, with low thinking self, that low man seeks little things to do, sees it and does it. This high man, with high thinking person, who pitches up a goal which is very high, high man, with great things to pursue, dies ere he knows it. Before he realizes the goal, in the very pursuit, he may die, but he will not compromise and be settled for the low. He will work for the higher and continue. He might have died. For example, Bhagat Singh. Bhagat Singh had a high goal. You understand? The prime of youth. He fought for the Indian freedom struggle and he died. But now we are enjoying the freedom. He didn't live through to see the Indian independence. Are you with me? Like that. This high man, with great things to pursue, died as he was.
That low man goes on adding one to one.
What does it mean? Low thinking fellow. Is there a property there? I got one more car, one more bungalow, one more this thing, so many following, this name, this award I got. You understand? This is what he is saying. That low man goes on adding one to one. He is 100 soon here. This high man aiming at 1 million misses a unit. Meaning, he may suffer in his life. This is a unit, the basic daily thing. But he works for a higher goal. I found somehow this interpretation very inspiring interpretation. So what he is saying here, you must live a life of a human being, which is to identify the larger self. Animal cannot think of a larger self. Isn't it? There are some animals which as soon as they give birth, from their hunger they eat their own puppies. Whereas a human being go to the level of starving for a few days for the sake of another spirit. That is a human being. Isn't it? It is not as if we do not have animal instinct. But the ability to control the animal instinct, that is what is the purpose of education. Isn't it? If we use the education to promote the animal instinct but defend ourselves legally, is that what education is trying to teach us? But isn't that what is happening in the society? In the so-called educated groups? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are actually promoting your animal instinct, using your education, and do it so that you don't get legally caught.
Justified.
And is this what education should teach us? What is true education? True education is to rise above the animal instinct. What is the difference between somebody who has done some crime, rape or whatever, and ended up in jail, and some of us? It's not that we did not have such instincts. Are you with me? But you are controlled. Are you with me? The animal instinct is common in it. Our gene is evolved from animals. It will be there. But education is for this purpose. No? So this education is considered as highest because it can take us above animal instinct and take us to that highest level. But we never have any higher goal. So when we read these verses, the question we must ask ourselves is, what is my goal? What is that I am trying to do in life? There are people who call certain things as goals, but they are not goals. Just working for themselves. They have targets. This much we have achieved, that much we have. Goal means working beyond your selfish, self-centered interests. And Swami Chidananda Ji says, when he talks about pitching up a goal, setting goals, he says you must set your goal so high that you should forget about it. You should be so far and beyond that you cannot even see, you should forget about it. Then just work and you start getting pleasure from that very work, working for that goal. Whether you attain it, don't attain it, doesn't matter. That's how you should live, he says.
That's how a human being should live. Just that. Like Shakespeare says, mischief the water, foot take the water, course the way. You know, so many people like Bhagat Singh. In fact, at least Bhagat Singh is known. And after freedom fighters probably not known. Right? But they got that inspiration and energy and happiness from that very work. If we are not getting that happiness from the very work and only from the reward, that means we never lived. This is all Vedanta is trying to say. Yacheta veti tata satyam asti. Nachetiha veti mahatini nasti. If you lived according to Veda, then you have lived. Otherwise you have lost your life. What is Veda saying? Veda is saying you should get happiness from the work, not from the reward. The reward may go to your children or somebody else. Many times, what you sow, you may not live up to reap it. Others may reap it, no? But you were reaping a lot of happiness. This is how Vedanta will live. So he says, of vain hopes, vain actions, vain knowledge, the Rakshasas and Asuras function. So Rakshasas and Asuras means tamasic, rajasic people. Sattvic people will not function like that. They will pitch up a higher goal. Highest is self, self-realization. So we must question ourselves, where am I? Is it just acquisition and enjoyment, the end all and be all of my life? Am I just going to add little more and die? Or do I want to contribute in a different level? This is the question that we should ask when we reach this process.
Mahatmanastu maam paata, Mahatmanastu maam paata, Daivim prakriti maashritaha, Daivim prakriti maashritaha, Bhajantyananyamanasaha, Nyatva bhutavi mavyayam, Nyatva bhutavi mavyayam, Mahatmanastu maam paata, Daivim prakriti maashritaha, Bhajantyananyamanasaha, Nyatva bhutavi mavyayam. Now he is talking about the Mahatma. Earlier he talked about foolish people, selfish people. Now he is talking about Mahatma. Those who identify with the self. Those who work for a higher goal. So this is Mahatma, great souls of Mahatma. Arjuna, they are possessed of my divine nature. Sattvic nature. Worship me with unwavering mind. Worship means identification. Unwavering mind. What is this unwavering mind? The opposite of wavering mind. What is wavering mind?
Nothing attractive.
While you are working for a higher goal, suddenly a thought comes. What will happen to my family? Mera kaam kahan jayega? You understand? All these kind of wavering thoughts. But his intellect is so firm, fixed in the goal for which he is working, so he doesn't compromise. He has unwavering mind. That's what it means. They are working with sattvic intelligence, sattvic nature. Identifying with me, the self within, the higher goal within, without any shaking. Their mind is unshaken. Having known me to be the imperishable source of beings. Having known me as the imperishable source of beings. The self is behind all activities. And all cause and effect is taken care of by the self. In fact, in the Shastra, God is defined as the very Dharma. Dharma is God. What is Dharma? the loss, which is based on cause and effect. So if you have faith in cause and effect, will your mind waver? You know, in the school books, especially in math books, they have given some problems, and the answer for those problems is given the last page. In the newspaper also they have written, riddles and all that, and then they will have answers given. And many times, you solve the problems, and then you go to the last page to check whether the answer is correct. And I'm told sometimes they purposely put a wrong answer there to confuse you. The fellow who is confident in his steps will never want to go to the last page to check whether his answer is correct. Isn't it? Swamiji talks about his classmate condition when he was studying in Chennai, Loyola College. In his question paper, usually you are given choice, right? So they are on the top, they write, answer any 10. They give 15, and the answer any 10. He, I believe, answers all the 15 within about half an hour, 40 minutes. And on the top, he writes, examine any 10. You understand? He will give a choice to the person who is correcting. You examine any 10 you want. So he always, somebody says, gets 150 or 100. All correct. So one day before it comes in the paper, or it comes in the notice board, so this guy is going to see. So they call him. Hey Ishwaran, you want to come to check? I'm not coming, I'm busy. So they go and they come back. Of course he's a top guy. But they come back and say, Your number is missing, which means you failed. For which the fellow replies the same. Must be printing mistake.
Here? Printing
mistake.
Why are you so confident?
Yeah. The sense. That's what he's saying here. See, why should you have wavering my hand? You know, in Tamil we say, Madila gan, Badila bhai. Which means what? In your pocket, you are having some diamonds. Therefore, when you are walking, you are still. Somebody may pocket members of diamond names in your head. You have not done, you have done everything right. Why should you worry? That is bhakti. What you have to do, you do not. What Bhagavan will do, he will do. So wavering mind means you have no faith in Bhagavan. Isn't it? You carry on doing what you have to do, things will come. You cannot get what you do not deserve. And nobody can prevent you from getting something what you deserve. Impossible. You get what you deserve, not what you desire. Any number of people can try to prevent you from making you get what you deserve. They cannot succeed. They cannot succeed. You cannot get what you deserve otherwise. And you don't deserve what you cannot. You cannot get what you don't deserve. So why unnecessarily waste your time? You only get what you deserve. So they have no fickle tendencies. Their mind is strong. Mahatmas work for a higher. I pointed out, you know, verse number 40, chapter 6. What did I say? My Guru Purima Devi had a class. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatin tata gacchati. One who does kalyana krit will never come to suffer. This is what Krishna promised. Have you ever found anybody who is working for a higher goal, mentally agitated? No selfish person can be happy. no unselfish person can be unhappy. It is a law. It is a law. Take it or leave it. If you are suffering, you are unhappy, there is selfishness and ego. If you have no selfishness, no ego, you cannot suffer. It is impossible. It's a law. So he said, Mahatma, great souls, O Partha, O Arjuna, those are possessed by my divine nature. My divine nature is sattvic nature. They identify with the self within. They worship me, the self, the highest. They have a higher goal. And they work with unwavering mind, single-pointed focus. Focusing on the action, not on the result. Having known me to be the imperishable source of being, they have that conviction. This is how we should live when we understand the scripture. And when we live like this, the very living is so much satisfactory. Like Swamiji says, end of the day, when you live like this, and you hit the pillow, at the end of the day, you will fall off to sleep within 20 seconds. But if you don't live like this, but you live like what he spoke about in verse number 12, you will have sleeping problem. Disturb. You observe lizard, which is constantly killing and eating the mosquitoes and all that, is maximum insecurity.
Maximum?
Insecurity in that lizard. You tap on the floor, it will run. You know, a carnivorous animal is absolutely restless and scared. It's a herbivorous animal who go near the cow or calm. It's not killing anything. It's not thinking in terms of destructivity. The mentality, if you have a mentality to, you know, scheme and plan and get something from somebody, how much ever you succeed, you are so much disturbed. That's what he means by vain hopes, vain action and vain knowledge. Senselessly they function. They think they are the most sensible people. They know how to live. They do all these things. They may get material stuff by this kind of means, but they are extremely disturbed. Macbeth, murdered sleep. After killing Duncan, after poisoning Duncan, Macbeth says, Macbeth, murdered sleep. Beautiful verses.
Yeah.
Krishna is saying, everybody essentially is divine, Atma. But somebody is called Mahatma because he is able to deal with the animal instinct within and identify with the Atma within. Then you become Mahatma. See, before you succeed the external battle, you must succeed in the inner battle. The most essential quality for success in the external world is self-control, which no university is teaching. Is there any class on self-control in any university?
Neither are they teaching for self-indulgence. But then, you know, verse number 38, chapter 2, what does he say? Can you read that? Verse number 38, chapter 2. Yeah.
Mind is said different.
That's not, they're not said different. Words are different.
Fear that you will be sinning.
Lovely.
Treat joy as sorrow.
Treat
joy.
Joy. Sukha dukkha sukha dukhe ame kritva labha labhau jaya jayau. That is what Lord is saying.
Read again loudly.
Treat joy and sorrow, victory and defeat, gain and loss alike, and prepare yourself for battle.
This is what I am saying.
And then you go into sin.
And then you go into sin. Sin means agitation.
So meditation or not, what is the result?
Sin means agitation, vasana. You see, what is saying? First is inner preparation, inner victory. Then the external victory. Today, this education is about external victory. There is hardly anybody giving importance for inner victory. The whole thing is rakshasas and asuras kind of thing. Hardly any sattvic. First is you deal with your mind. Your own mind. Once the mind is handled, then handling the world becomes easy. That's all it is. So first advice that Krishna tells Arjuna is, handle your mind. The problem is here, not there. You're going on criticizing Duryodhana, this fellow, that fellow, all the fellows you criticize. You never look within your mind. Your own mind is a problem. Treating alike pleasure and pain, joy and sorrow, victory and defeat, gain and loss, get ready for the battle. Then you will not incur. So that's precisely what he's saying here. In sattvic nature, you don't work for gain, you work for a higher goal. Your business is not started with a goal of just earning money. Of course, business should make profit so that it can continuously contribute. Believe me. But the very purpose for which the business was started should be different. During freedom struggle also, some of the rich people, they contributed and started something so that it will benefit the Indian people. Of course, from that money that comes as profit, they are going to reinvest and develop the business. But the prime motive in many cases is what? Our gain. Completely different from what he does. You have a certain talent. You can give back to the society by starting a business. And I think, of course, business means profit. But that is not your prime motive. Mahatmas. So you have a choice. Whether you want to be giving yourself to the animal instincts and lead a selfless life, or rise above that through the knowledge and identify with the self within and give yourself to sattvic nature within. Having no need to be the imperishable source of all beings come and go, but the source never goes. That's why the source is called imperishable. Hmm? They have an imperishable source of energy, such people. So then, whereas a workaholic will not have that much of energy. The moment he suspects something may take away his profits, he will start losing his energy to continue working in that field. That is a person who is expecting nothing out of it. Where is he getting his energy from? It's from a different source, and that source is imperishable in this. Look at it that way. See, when a person is working for rewards, only to the extent he is seeing something he is getting, his energy is sustained, isn't it? Whereas in this fellow's case, he has no expectation. Rewards may be coming, not coming, continues working, working. Where is he getting his energy? Unless and until you are inspired for a larger cause, for a higher vision, you cannot have that inspiration. The guy who has suffered about 27 years of imprisonment and comes out. Did you see that movie about Nelson Mandela? What is it called?
Walk to Freedom.
No.
The football one.
Invictus. Fascinating. Invictus. The guy was imprisoned by them for 27 long years. And he comes out. He becomes the president of his country. And some of the decisions he took, he dreamed of South Africa, he says. I dreamt of a country, not just blacks, but with all the colors, living with equality. And he fights the dissent from within. Because they were oppressed, so obviously now they want to get back. But he fights it. It's a brilliant move. And it's an actual story. The guy sustained energy because he had a higher vision. 10 days if somebody puts you in jail, will you sustain that energy? Impossible. The energy comes from working for a larger cause. The guy who works for a larger cause is tremendously energetic. The very essence of true goal is that it generates energy. When you set a goal, you should set a goal in such a way that your energy is constantly flowing. The thing. Mundane material things, after a while the energy is not there. Because it's boring, you don't want it. You need to constantly keep on changing. That is why in an organization, if the very organization has no higher vision, then the leaders over there will have to depend only on incentive schemes to sustain the energy of the employees. Now keep on promising something else. But if the very company has a higher vision, higher goal, and the leader has that, and he is able to translate it to the others, there is no need to worry about constantly, talking about the incentives. But the very leaders themselves lack the vision. Their whole idea is profit, which the employees know. Then they say, okay, if you are going to get a big chunk now, let me get this. Then everybody is working as a labor, not a service. With money you can only get labor. But with love you get service. With values you get service. This is what we need to understand. With money you can get employee, but not integrity. You know, a lot of companies, in fact, one or two companies have approached me to give them a talk on building sense of ownership. When they invite us, building a sense of ownership. I'll be talking precisely this. They don't know. If this is directed towards the employees or towards the employer? My talk now. Employer. But why are they calling me? To talk to the employees. They don't understand this. Please, are you with me what I'm saying? You go and listen to the topic Swamiji has lectured on, Art of Parenting. People buy, parents buy, thinking that they are going to direct the children and all that. The lecture is finishing the parents. Do you mean? Not really. See, please understand, the sense of ownership will come. Depends on how the employer functions. There will be one or two exceptions, that's a different matter. Building a sense of ownership, you will be thinking about profits, making money and all that all the time, only in those angles. Right? Obviously your employees who are working, they'll also think in terms of incentives and all. They've got labor, you've not got integrity. You cannot get the sense of ownership out of them. Impossible. You have to politely deny. Or you go and talk and then explain to them these things. Get it, they get it. Okay. See, there are choices. Do you want to run your life, your organization, your family in a sattvic, divine way as per the scriptures, or rajasic, tamasic, asuric, rakshasic? Choice is yours. Asuric, rakshasic way appears shining but destroys you. Sattvic way appears not so bright, but it sustains the energy and helps you over a period of time. Choice is yours. But to be able to see that, you need to be a Mahatma, what we call a statesman. A statesman sees what will happen 100 years ago, 100 years later, 100 years later. He's able to see that. You call such a person a visionary, no? Right? So you replace the word Mahatma with that. He has a vision. He works for that. He doesn't simply live for stomach. That day is food. This is what Krishna is telling Arjuna. Have a higher vision. Instead of that, how can I kill my brother? How can I kill my grandfather? Have a greater picture. Higher vision. If you have a higher vision, it's impossible that you can get stressed. Impossible. Because in that there is no me. Even if there is little me, to that extent there will be stress.
सततं कीर्तयन्तो महां सततं कीर्तयन्तो महां यतन्तश्च दृढव्रताः यतन्तश्च दृढव्रताः नमस्यन्तश्च मां भक्त्याः नमस्यन्तश्च मां भक्त्याः नित्ययुक्ता उपासते नित्ययुक्ता उपासते सततं कीर्तयन्तो महां यतन्तश्च दृढव्रताः नमस्यन्तश्च मां भक्त्याः नित्ययुक्ता उपासते ऑलवेज ग्लोरिफाइंग मी तत्क्रियम राइट द सेल्फ द हायर गोल स्ट्राइविंग फर्म इन बॉस they strive, they put in efforts firm in their vows. Vows you take for what? What is a vow? Commitment. Then? What is a vow? Basically, you prepare yourself to go through difficulty. For what? To achieve that goal. It's not neglect. It's not neglect. Nowadays, vow has become neglect.
Neglect.
Yeah, the same.
Not sadism.
Exactly.
Sadistic.
Nowadays, it's become like that. No?
How?
Denying oneself, they think it's a vow. That is not a vow. Meaning, you put yourself to a lot of difficulties to prepare yourself to achieve that goal. It's a vow. It's okay. I will not eat till I achieve that. Something you say, till I do that, I will not do these things. It's not to deny yourself. It's to keep yourself charged to go towards the self. Striving firm in purpose. Prostrating before me means total dedication and devotion. Ever steadfast. Ever steadfast means consistency. Things may appear smooth. Sometimes things will not be smooth. They will continue. Always glorifying me. The whole idea is they keep on asking themselves. Is this action going to glorify the self or the little self? All their actions will be glorifying the higher self, not the little self. See, like an ambassador, you know. An ambassador is sent to another country, he is an ambassador of this country. Anything he will do will be reflecting about his country. Isn't it? He won't say ambassador, India is there. So the ambassador will have to do things which will always glorify his country, his conduct, his behavior, everything, so much of awareness. Never giving to anything selfish. So that's what he is saying, satatam kirtayantoma. Now, satatam kirtayantoma, a lot of people take it literally, all the time singing kirtans. Singing kirtan is an exercise, right? You sing the kirtan as an exercise for you to remind yourself of the self all the time, so that you don't get trapped by the animal instinct. That's the idea. But just per se, if you keep on singing kirtan, that doesn't mean that it is devotion. The very purpose should not be lost. Satatam kirtayanto, glorify. There are people who chant. Even recently somebody asked me, do you know anybody in Chennai who can teach us chanting of the Gita in our area? So they are checking with me whether we have an institute there. I said, yes, we do. Some of my colleagues are teaching and all that. Then I said, will they come and teach us Gita? I said, they have time, they'll come. Then I understood they don't want Gita teaching. They want Gita chanting only. Nothing wrong, I'm not blaming. I'm just saying they give importance to such things. And they may even quote, Bhagavad Gita says you must always chant.
glorify through your thought, word and deed. The self should be glorified through your thought, word and deed, not just through your kirtans, through your songs. Your life should be song celestial. Not that just your lips should be singing song celestial. Isn't it? So satatam kirtayanto. Satatam is a very important word here. Satatam means always. Always means what? 24/7. Whether you are doing through kayika, vachika, manasa. Isn't it? So when we eat also, the awareness should be there. Now is this experiment, exercise going to help me to realize the self? Or am I just doing it to indulge in the taste? Anything for the matter, for example, exercise. Right? Why do I exercise? Is it to keep a certain body which will help me, which will be conducive for me to put in my energy towards realizing the self? Or to become Mr. Miss and all that universe, etc., etc. You know, everything can be understood that way. So satatam kirtayanto. Always glorify. So in thought, word and deed. The strive, a firm in box. Till I achieve that, I will not rest content. See, this Hiranyakashipu also was thrown in the box. They show in movies also, no? First, Hiranyakashipu, when he goes for his tapas in the beginning, he's like a WWF fellow. Then, after so many days, he will become like a TB patient. Isn't it? Firm in his walk. For what? To get the boon from God so that he can become powerful. That is not the case here. The case here is to glorify the self. See, glorifying the self is the opposite of glorifying the ego. So all these people are firm in vow. Rajasic people, Rakshasas and Asuras, are firm in vow. Hiranyakashipu is a Rakshasa, right? It's an Asura. That fellow, what did he do? He was also firm in his vow. But for what? Not glorifying the self. Glorifying the little self. Whereas in the case of the sattvic people, divine people, they are also firm in vows. But for what? Glorifying the self. Action per se is same. This is what you need to understand. Movies also they show, no? Villain also works out his body. Hero also works out his body. But hero works out his body to save others. Villain works out his body to kill others. It's not the same. This fellow is also putting in the same amount of effort. That fellow is also putting in the same amount of effort. So that's what he's saying. Satatam kirtayanto maam. Vedavrataha. Form of us. Keeps a lot of breath. He strives, he puts in that effort. Prostrating before me. Accepting me as the higher. Prostration means what? Total surrender. Thy will be done, not my will be done. That's what it means. With devotion. Ever steadfast. Nitya yukta. He is centered in the self. Will this action take me to the self? Then I will do. It will take me away from the path, I will not. So that is why we say the most important thing is to pitch up a goal. Fix a goal. Then rest will fall by. And you do not have any goal. Then you will be thinking in the morning, what should I do today? Should I call that person or this person?
fixed an ideal, higher goal, and do everything and anything to glorify that sense, nothing else.
They worship me. They alone worship me.
See, in other words, physically you may be sitting in a mandir and doing puja.
That is not worship.
Through your thought, word and deed, if the self is
glorified or not, that proves whether it is worship or not. If you are conducting a yajna, but you want to show to the world that your yajna is the
the most glorious yajna, then in that yajna, through that yajna, what is glorified? Is Bhagavan glorified? Or the ego glorified? So would it be rakshasic or sattvic? So it is not as if rakshasas will do only the so-called non-religious activities. Even religious activities, the rakshasic tendencies will come. Represent your country and your talk. Through your talk, your country should become glorified. But very often the person talks, he may get glorified. The country gets into the background. That's not the right thing to do. You understand? Going some place for a talk, representing your country, you become a popular speaker. Your country is not represented well. You ended up glorifying yourself rather than the country. Always glorifying me, striving from involves prostrating before me, understanding the insignificance of one ego and surrendering to the total and functioning with total bhakti devotion. Bhakti is identifying with the others. If I manufacture something, I will put myself in the customer's position and ask a question, will I buy this product for this cost if I were the customer? Then I will manufacture. That is bhakti. But today bhakti is this. They do puja in the morning and produce things which no customer will be ready to pay for it. What kind of bhakti is that? You know, they buy that plug, you know, the socket, not the plug, the socket sometimes, the two-pin socket, into which you put your plug to charge your mobile or something. Some of the things, you need to constantly hold it, or some support you have to give, otherwise it won't have the connection. But when you buy the same thing from abroad, it fits in perfectly. Isn't it? You don't mind paying an extra little for it. Why can't you manufacture like that? But you started the manufacturing with puja every day. Every day puja. Is that bhakti? What kind of bhakti is that? Ever step first. They worship.
Om Namah. पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्छते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। सकलं परस्मै सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।